This morning, as we come together, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 2. And so if you want to turn there, this is one of those stories that we hear, we read through, and we study, and we glean from each year around Christmas. And we focus a lot of times on the wise men, the astrologers that came from Persia, and how far they traveled, and all of those things that we focus on what it must have been like for them to make that trip, to follow that star, to come to the presence of this Messiah, that this King of the Jews that they had heard about, and they come to find him, and they do all this travel. And this is a passage we're going to be in this morning. But this morning, I want us to look at something. It's focused on a lot, but I want us to look at it maybe a little bit different this morning. So as we look at this passage, I'm going to start in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 1, and read the first few verses here. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered them all, the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And when he sent them to Bethlehem, he said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. And Lord, as we read this story so many times, I pray that today that you would speak to us. Lord, that we would hear what it is you have for us. Lord, that we would be more what you want us to be, that we would live our lives prepared for you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of those stories, like I said, that we read a lot of times right before Christmas or the month generally leading up to Christmas, or maybe even Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas. But this week, as I'm looking over this passage and I'm looking over this, I could not focus on the things that I normally focus on. And I really struggled, honestly, that this would be the passage for this morning. But this is where God has brought me this morning for a reason, I think. And so I want to share that with you. Now, this is one of those passages that says after Jesus was born. And here we're going over this before Christmas is here. But bear with me, because I think what he has for us today is something that could be preached, taught, focused on every single day of your life and my life. We're going to look at the position of the star, or the importance of this star. We know that this star, it says it shows up in the east, and these wise men, these astrologers basically, they studied the skies and they knew something when they saw this star. And they had heard probably from Daniel's teachings when he was in Babylon, in Persia in that time. He was in Babylon, that teaching would have stayed around. And when Medo-Persia took over, that teaching was still there. And so the understanding that there was a star, and if you go to Daniel, I think it's chapter 11, it talks about the astrologers and people that were there. And they understood that this was the star for the king of the Jews. And they saw it in the east, and they began to travel and follow this star. And I begin to focus on this star. And I want you to focus with me this morning on this star and the position of this star. The first thing that had to have happened, here's these astrologers, like I said, and they study the stars. And so this one star, at some point, we don't know. They traveled 800 to 900 miles to get to where Jesus was at, where the star finally rested. And so they were able to follow this star, but something had to have started it all. There had to have been a point that they walked out and they saw that this star was up there. It had risen. It was miraculously there. We don't know. But we know that these men that studied the skies, all of a sudden they see this star. That's our starting point. And so my message this morning, I want you to understand that there has to be a starting point for each of us. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be this star. That's not what I'm saying. But I want us to understand that in all of God's plan, as He's bringing these wise men and He's bringing together all that's going to take place in Jesus' birth and the first few years after to when He's in the manger, I want us to understand that there was a starting point to the Christmas story. And we could go back farther, but we're going to start here today. And my prayer is that you would stop and focus on your starting point. Now, not when you were born. We could go back that far. But when you first come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have to have that starting point. Nothing else in this story is going to happen pertaining to this star if it doesn't rise. If it doesn't appear in the sky at some point, then nothing else. The wise men have nothing to follow. It's not going to rest there. It has to have a starting point. So my question today is for you to ask yourself, do I have a starting point? Because a lot of times we think, yeah, I've got a starting point. I can remember going back to church when I was... That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about that point, that purpose. When God placed this star in the sky, that star had a purpose. It had a purpose that no other star had. This was the only star that they followed. This was the star that was put there for the purpose of bringing the wise men to Bethlehem. It had a purpose. You have a purpose. But the purpose can only be fulfilled if there's a starting point. So we have to have that starting point. Once we have that starting point, let's look at, again, these were astrologers. They were men that studied the stars. Why did they follow this star? What was so special about this star? Why did they choose to follow this star? When you walk out in the night sky and you look up at all the stars that are out there, how do you pick one to follow? Now, they're astrologers. They know a lot more about the stars than I do. But something was different about this star. Maybe they had went out the night before and many nights before and they had studied the stars and they had mapped the stars. I don't know. But for some reason, they walked out on this one night and they saw something was different about that star. It had a starting point and it was different. My question to us this morning is, one, do you have a starting point? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you received the fact that Jesus Christ came that morning and that He was born and He lived and He laid down His life for you and He died on the cross for you and He rose again and He's coming back? Have you a starting point? Many in here can say yes. And that's where we stop. We are still that star. So many of us are still hovering close to the same place that we rose. That's not what happened here. The star rose. It was different to the point that people who were wise, as we call them, people who studied stars knew a difference. People that study other people, do they see a difference in you? Well, he's a nice guy, she's a nice girl, that type of deal. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because there are nice people all around. There's something that had to have been different about this star to bring in to their knowledge of these astrologers to say, this is the star that belongs to the King of the Jews. When people see you, do they see something different? And not just, like I said, being nice, but something that connects you to Jesus. Because too many times we hover where we rose. Too many times we're not different. Yeah, we're all different. I understand that. But is there something that's going to cause people that study people to realize you're connected to Jesus? And there's a lot of people that see me that they don't see that connection. They see a nice guy, they see a religious guy, but do they see a connection to Jesus in our lives? But not only was this star, had it risen and it was different, but there was something about it so different that caused these men to be able to be willing to walk 800 to 900 miles. They knew that this star was connected to the King of the Jews. And they saw such a difference in this star and the other stars in the sky that they're willing to walk 800 to 900 miles. Because that difference showed a connection. There are people right across the street, right across town, that don't see enough difference in me and maybe you to walk across the street. They don't see enough connection to Jesus in me that they're not willing to walk across town. Man, there's nothing any more different than those people than there is anybody else that would cause me to get up on a cold Sunday morning and go to see what the difference is. I wonder sometimes why that is. Because I can feel God in my life. I can see the things that He's doing in my life. Why don't people see the difference? Man, I do really good in here. I do really good in a group of good people. But this star was placed up in the night sky. Up in the dark. They will see a difference when we are out in the dark. When God places us out in the dark, we will shine like stars in the universe, the Scripture tells us. But there's got to be a difference. And it goes on and it tells us how this star that they followed for 800 to 900 miles, and they followed all the way until they get to where King Herod is at and all the chief priests and the scribes and everybody that's there. And they're just a few miles from Bethlehem, but they get close and they stop to begin to ask people, where is this Jesus that was born King of the Jews? And so they have all the knowledge and they tell them where He's going to be. And then it says that after they'd heard the king, they departed, and behold, That star was there again, which they had seen and followed before. And they begin to follow it again. Think about this. That star that they saw 800 to 900 miles away. And they followed it. I know how long it takes me to drive 800 to 900 miles. I can't imagine how long it would take me to walk or ride a camel 800 to 900 miles. But the whole time, that star is leading them. It took time. That star didn't just rise. It wasn't just different, but it went a certain direction. That star had a purpose, and the purpose was to point to the Messiah. And it took 800 to 900 miles for that trip to get there. And I stop and I think, what's my purpose? Have I risen? Have I met Jesus? Yes. Am I different? Probably not enough. Am I going the right direction to where people will follow me to Jesus? Would people follow you 800 to 900 miles because you are leading them to Jesus? I can't get people to follow me across the road. Sometimes, I can remember one of my math teachers saying the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And my spiritual life is not a straight line. And I'm sure yours isn't either. But to get them to follow us, we have to go in the proper direction with a purpose constantly. We have to be going in a perfect direction constantly, continually towards Jesus, to get people and lead them to Jesus. So we've got this star that it rose, it was different, and it headed for Jesus. But then what? It gets there and it hovers in the presence of Jesus. Here's our issue sometimes. We don't hover near Jesus. And I head towards Him, and maybe I veer off, and maybe I come by His presence on Sunday, but then I keep going, I veer off Tuesday, Thursday, and then I kind of veer back next Sunday. The wise men were able to find Jesus because the star hovered in His presence. How many times do people not see Jesus because we're not hovering in His presence? Now, you've heard that saying that you may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. You may be the only thing that leads people to Jesus. They're not going to walk in these doors. They're not going to come in this place because church has hurt them in the past. So the only Jesus they're going to see is the Jesus they see in you and me. You've heard that story before. That's not original, but it's real. And so as we look this morning at this star, all the miraculous things that it does, it rises, it's different, it travels with direction, it's able to hover in the presence of Jesus. All of those things are exactly what that star was created for, the purpose for which that star was created. Same things that we're created for. But those things are not possible for you and me. Understand what I'm about to say? Without the power of Jesus. There is no purpose for you or me without Jesus. There's no purpose for this star if there's no Jesus in that manger, if there's no Jesus in Bethlehem. There is no reason for it to be different. It would not have been different if it wouldn't have been the star for the King of the Jews. It would not have had a direction to go if it wasn't for Jesus. It would not have had a place to hover if it wasn't for Jesus. So everything I've said this morning, where we're supposed to do those things, we're supposed to have a point in our lives in which we have rose, we are supposed to be different, we're supposed to travel with direction, we're supposed to hover in the presence of Jesus. None of that will happen unless Jesus Christ is the center of it all. Unless He is the center of it all, nothing else matters. And unfortunately, sometimes my life, and maybe yours, seems like the Christmas story without the baby Jesus. Man, I get up and I rise and I put on all my Christian clothes. And I go out there and I act different. I do different things. And I have a direction in which I think I'm supposed to go. And I do some religious things. And I look back after the day is over and there was no Jesus in my life. At least He wasn't the center of it all. He wasn't the reason for it all. It wasn't about Him. It was about a great story. It was about something that seems to make a difference. Man, could that not make a difference? It obviously did in these people's lives. But those wise men would not have came if it wasn't for Jesus. Those scribes and chief priests would not have known where Bethlehem was at as far as the fact that the King of Jews was going to be born there had it not been for Jesus. Nothing would matter without Jesus in this story. You take Jesus out of the Christmas story, it's like those signs that say taking Christ out of Christmas. Yes, that's true. But I'm not talking Christmas. Christmas is a week or so off. I'm talking today. I'm talking you and me living today. Is there Christ in today? Is there Christ in your day? When you rise, why do you rise? Is it just because that's what you do? That's what stars do. Stars just rise. What causes you to rise? What is your purpose for living? What is my purpose for living? Why have I been placed in the night sky by the Creator of the universe? Why do you rise every day? The Bible tells us that everything we do should be done for the glory of God. And we figure if we do 2 or 3 hours worth that glorifies God, we figure we're good. Jesus Christ is fixing to come back. He is going to split that eastern sky, and He's going to find a lot of us that are just balls of gas waiting to burn out because we're not fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. But we're different. You know how many people are different for a while? before they burn out? Survey after survey is done of how people that used to go to church, whether young or old, eventually get to a point in their life that they have nothing else to cling to as far as Jesus goes. There was a time in my life when I needed Jesus, but not anymore. There was a time in my life when God was important, but not anymore. Why is that? Because they had no purpose. They just had a need. And Jesus Christ did not fulfill that need. They just got by with the miracles around Him. They never took Him in. Why are we different for just a little while? You go out into the night sky right now, and one night this star will be super bright, and this one will be bright, and then the next night you go out there and it's cloudy and you don't see a thing. Too many times the clouds hinder us. The things that are out there that keep us from shining keep us, at least in our mind, from doing what God's called us to do. We're to be different. But there is no way you and I can be different on our own. Because if you're different because of your own power, then that ball of gas is eventually going to burn out. All the power that you have is going to eventually burn out. The only power that will not burn out is to be totally 100% connected to Jesus Christ. Communing with Him on a daily basis. Having a relationship with the Son of God. That's all that's never going to burn out. Everything else will burn out. Your religion will burn out. A lot of our relationships will burn out. But the power of God will never burn out. And that is the only thing that can make us different that will last. And direction? When you get up of a morning and you rise, do you rise for the right reason? Do you have the difference maker inside you, and do you follow His direction? Do you follow His direction? Well, I've got things I've got to do, Pastor. Whatever you're doing when that eastern sky splits, is it going to be more important than that? When Jesus Christ comes back, is what you're doing more important than that? We are so busy and going in so many directions that we miss the direction. And that is following Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you can say that because that's your job. No, that's not my job. That's my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior. And without that, I have nothing. And without that, you have nothing. Direction only comes from Him. He is a God of order, not chaos. You ever find yourself in life thinking, man, things are just going crazy. This has been a crazy week. And not that God's going to make everything perfectly smooth and everything straight. No, that's not the way it works. But our God is a God of order and a God of love. And He gives us direction. Well, I don't know what that direction is. Not only do we follow His direction, but here's our issue is when you get up of a morning and you've got that difference-making power in you and you follow His direction, then that direction will always lead to Him and you will hover in His presence. If you're not hovering in His presence, remaining in His presence, then you're probably following the wrong direction. And if you're following the wrong direction, then you probably don't have the difference maker in you. And if you don't have the difference maker in you, then the reason for your rising is all on you. We look at this star that makes the Bethlehem story. It gives the wise men a reason to come. It gives the king a reason to be troubled. It gives the chief priests and the scribes a way to show off their information. And it gives all of these things. Without Jesus, it's all worthless. But with Jesus, it all comes together. Was it all smooth? No, it was 800-900 miles of tough traveling. It's a Herod wanting to end up killing a bunch of innocent. It's scribes and Pharisees missing Jesus by 15 miles. It's not all smooth, but it's His plan. But in His plan, Jesus has to be the center. And in your life and in my life, there's a plan. And Jesus has to be in the center. Our problem is, we don't even follow the direction of this star. The position of this star. We can learn from it, but it's still just a star. It comes down to that starting point that you have. If you don't have that starting point, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I'm doing a lot of mumbling up here that probably doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But the bottom line is the only way to get that direction and that power and that purpose and that desire to hover in the presence of Jesus is to come to know Him as your personal Savior. And that will only happen when you realize how much He loves you. He loves you so much, more than our minds can comprehend. God sent His Son to die for us. We read that scripture. You see that scripture posted at football games and basketball games and baseball games and all over it. We see that scripture so much that we really take it for granted how much He loves us. And Christmas is coming up and gift exchanges are going, but the bottom line is there's only one gift you need, and that's the gift of grace, which is through Jesus Christ. Faith in Him, salvation through Him. That's what He has for you. But Christian, as we look at this message this morning, you have a purpose. You can hover where you rose, or you can hover in the presence of Jesus. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do is going to change that. It comes down to you and the decision you're going to make. Where do you want to hover? Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I know this message wasn't a normal message from the Christmas story. But Father, I pray that You help me to hover where I need to hover, centered on Jesus. Lord, I need You. I need You so. Lord, I lift up each person in this place. Just ask that You would watch over them. Lord, speak to them as individuals, that they would have to hear You. Lord, draw them, encourage them, challenge them, convict them. Lord, each of us, may we be face to face with You, that when You are ready, that we are ready. Lord, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.